What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.
Moncrief on News Talk.
So where is he then?
Where's he?
The old... That's what we used to call him. And he was a... I can guarantee that.
We have no idea.
I imagine you want to keep this quiet. What with Westacres?
What does Westacres have to do with this?
Nothing. But a bomb goes off in London, it's an intelligence service up, which ironically describes our young Cartwright. And this gets out, the keyboard nuts will be joining the wrong dots.
We'll wrap it up before it comes to that.
Well, next sound you hear will be me expressing confidence.
Impressive. Can you do that to order?
Why, do you want another?
You are gross and inappropriate.
I'm working through my grief. It comes out in odd ways.
That was Slow Horses, the fourth season. New episodes every Wednesday on Apple TV+. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon to you.
Much beloved. but I suppose this is a struggle to keep this up. Maybe not.
It's funny. I definitely reviewed Slow Horses when it first debuted, I will say, 3 years ago. This is season 4 on Apple TV. I had saw the first two episodes. I thought it was absolutely fine, and it was just then one of those shows that I just never ever returned to. Mm. And then, in fairness to my mother and my brother, they would always be going, "Slow Horses, are you watching Slow Horses?" And I'd be like, "Oh yeah, watch the first two." Never got back to it. And it's totally my own fault because I have now returned to it. And it's really good.
Yes.
I would actually go so far as to say of all of Apple TV's content, which actually still isn't that much comparatively, particularly because they don't license anything else. They just only produce their own stuff. As its content goes, it's probably the best show and certainly the most consistent and reliable.
Yes.
Because when they renewed it for a second season, they actually put through an order for 5 seasons. So we're getting at least one more after this.
Oh, wow.
And okay. It comes from Will Smith, not that Will Smith. The other one who was a writer on Veep and The Thick of It. And he is adapting Mick Herron's Slough House novels, of which there are 13 titles. So there's plenty of material to work through. Now, for the uninitiated, what is it about, right? So it's about the slow horses, quote unquote, who are a group of bad spies in the sense that they work for MI5. So it's not international spy work. I mean, it's not like James Bond ordering martinis and wearing Rolexes, but it's just sort of rank and file spy work within the security confines of the United Kingdom. So it's all internalized. And the slow horses have been banished to Slough House. It's only just dawned on me that, is that why they're called slow horses?
I think that is actually, it's some sort of a pun on that, yeah.
Which is, like, I mean, it's actually almost the most perfectly looking shabby public service building.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like it's down a mini alleyway in the middle of London somewhere. The walls are just magnolia. The carpet tiles are, you know, 50 years old, whatever, right? And it's where these spies who have been bad at some point in their career for various different reasons have been isolated under the helm of Jackson Lamb, who I'm still not quite sure why he's been isolated, aside from the fact that he's not very nice.
No, yeah, and he's just pretty much horrible to everybody.
Yeah, and his personal hygiene and indeed manners leave a lot.
Well,
to
I'm waiting for the episode where he keels over from a heart attack, really.
or even something like that, right? So he's played by Gary Oldman, who I guess is the titular lead, though, to be honest with you, Jack Loudon, late of his wedding.
Mrs. Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah. Though, you know, a very successful actor in his own right and an Olivier Award-winning theatre actor as well. He plays the most unlikely named British spy, River Cartwright, who I think they're both equally leads, although the show is finally getting its kind of Emmy nods in the sense that it's nominated for 9 awards next week. And among them are Best Actor Gary Oldman and Best Supporting Actor Jack Loudon. But I guess in the race for gold, you kind of split your horses, shall we say. And it's a, you know, what I really like about it is, first of all, it's a bit like the early seasons of Game of Thrones in the sense that the creators are not afraid to kill their darlings, right? Anyone could go kind of any time. Yeah. And the whole point is they're snarky and mean to each other, but of course, have they got a heart and is their heart in the right place at the end of the day? Yes, it is, which makes you as a viewer very fond of everyone involved in it, which means when they are very untimely knocked off this mortal coil, you kind of feel it, right? You have an affection for them. Then the spy work is no way glamorous, right? You know, like, I mean, season one is about a kind of kidnap of a kind of like a, let's say, a online jihadist, quote unquote, kidnapping that is not exactly what it seems. And each season follows a crime that isn't exactly what it seems, right? But they're an interesting and very easily accessible and understandable piece of spy work. And the spy work often just involves rifling through bins or going through stacks of paper. And through that, we have various different characters. I mean, I think probably the fan favourite, the most unlikely fan favourite is Saskia Reeves as Catherine Standish, who clearly must be a good friend of Jack Loudon because he helped produce the forthcoming Saoirse Ronan On the Run, something like that, where she plays her mother in it. So they obviously all like each other. And it's just incredibly likable. It's violent at times. The pacing is very exciting. The style is really interesting, even though it's very monotonous and meant to be very boring. You have Kristen Scott Thomas, who I thought, her aggressive bob couldn't get any aggressiver, more aggressive. And then season 4 comes along and she has shaved even further inches off it as Diana Tavern, who is sort of in the good part of MI5, looking down her nose at Slough House. To be honest, my only kind of quibble with it at this point is we've reached a point now where, you know, 4 seasons in, like, I don't know exactly what the plot is going to be here in this one. And to be honest with you, to even start to explain it would be a spoiler for many things in the previous seasons. But at this point, I don't understand why they're still underestimating the slow horses.
Well, that's what I was going to, because it always seems to be, the start seems to be, we're going to give you this tiny job to do, and then the thing escalates, and then, you know, the slow horses figure the whole thing out. Yeah. But it's only because you're crap, we're giving you this tiny thing. But then, as you say, every time they solve it, so you think, you know, Kristen Scott Thomas to say, actually, hang on, the dolts, the yes men I have surrounding me.
Right, I guess the whole point is that they are trained MI5 operatives, right? Mm. So they have to have gotten through some level of advanced training. I mean, I don't know, right?
Yeah.
Or do I, right? But all in, that's my only quibble. And it's really slight because it is entertaining, it's punchy, it's really funny. I mean, it's got like wry one-liners written by a Veep writer, so he knows how to make them absolutely hilariously sardonic. And it's, it's my favorite kind of thing. Okay, it's not half hours, but it's only 6 episodes, which is like a really Britishly manageable show.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely
why I like it.
Yeah. Okay, our next show is On the Beat. You can watch that on Mondays, 9:35 on RTE1 or catch up on the RTE player. Here's a clip.
Jack, will you do us a favour? What you drop me a rose and all them? She's strong.
No.
We asked for the taxi and the man shouldn't drag us into a van. We're going to wreck this whole place, I swear to God.
Well, he won't be doing that.
I swear to God, we're going to wreck this town.
Right,
no, because we're drunk, you stupid.
Relax a second.
Drop us to the whole town and they give us money.
No, we cannot do that. We're not taxing. There's a taxi rank at the far side. The far side, there's a taxi rank.
Go home.
Yeah, we're going. We want to go home.
Okay.
She wants to show me the bands that we have in all them.
101 to Bravo. Just for the camera, see that couple there on the camera we were talking to. We just gave the camera on him there. Just do anything, give us a shove.
Yeah, Roger, thanks.
Roger.
Poor woman.
it's not the last we'll see of him now.
Right, so it's a documentary. Is it set in the one place following different guards, or how does that work?
It's set in three different places around Ireland. So it's set in Dundalk, in Longford Town, and in Waterford City. And I think the reason why they chose those three places is they kind of represent different facets of modern policing in Ireland. So Dundalk is a border town. Longford Town straddles both the countryside and sort of urban side of a county. And then Waterford City is like a city, right? And in that we meet various rank and file Garda, a couple of detectives, and we watch them as they do a lot of driving around, going on the beat, interacting with members of the public. And I found this so depressing to watch, if I'm honest. Not because of the filmmaking at hand. That in and of itself is absolutely fine, well made. The participants are all, you know, likable in their talking heads and earnest in their interest in their work as public servants and also as keepers of the peace. But it just was kind of, it was quite distressing to watch, because it just made you, like, it made Ireland seem like it was that anarchy, you know, that like the fabric of society had become so tattered and miserable. And like, we see it in many different ways, but mostly through a lens of drug addiction or alcohol misuse, I would say. And we see these Gardaí sitting in their cars, you know, driving around, encountering a drunk driver on the road and arresting him, bringing him back. We see them right at the very beginning, two of them. I think it's the pair in it's the pair in Dundalk, Leah Shipley and Nichal Rama. We see them arresting this guy who is in, you know, the abuse that they are getting from him is just really, really uncomfortable and unsettling to watch. Later on in the same episode, Nichal Rama, who, you know, is obviously a person of colour, is in receipt of the most horrendous racism. And I'm just sort of watching this going, like, okay, it's very interesting to see, you know, how you know, the everyday existence of what it means to be a Garda in 2024 in Ireland. But I'm watching it going, like, who's this for? In the sense of, like, who would go, yeah, that's what I want to do, you know, like, yeah, you know, I, yeah. Like, as in, it made me like, and I gotta say, fair play to those who do it, right? It made me go, like, is this a recruitment drive by an understaffed Gardaí, which we know they are? Is it a push for more resources? I don't know. Then there's also the kind of fraught bit of how it's all framed, right? So obviously in a show like this, you have to be extremely careful about defamation or something like that, because
sure, yeah,
members of the public, which means all of the people with whom the Gardaí interact are either blurred and then their voices are changed. And yet at one point, like, there's footage of one being brought into a Garda station and, you know, his, let's say, bum crack is on display through the back, and I'm kind of going, do I need to see this? Probably not. Yeah. But all in, it's like,
they don't blur the bum crack.
No, they don't blur the bum crack, right? I mean, they could have, right? But like, also that immediately frames that person negatively.
Yes.
Then their voice sounds weird. They are obviously made to look not guilty, that's not what I'm saying, but like, they're made to look as if something is wrong.
Yeah.
But something is wrong in the footage, which leads me back to it being quite distressing to watch. Like, as in, it just, like, I kind of, like, for want of a better word, I was like, oh, could something nice happen?
Yeah.
You know? Could something
okay,
nice
right.
Happen?
So there isn't like the odd time they rescue a cat from a tree or something
not
like that.
Not in this episode. Like, in this episode, you know, for me, the most striking bit was they were talking, I think it was, there's Garda Ashley McAvoy again in Dundalk, and he's doing a raid of a house of a suspected drug dealer. And he's sort of talking to, in the talking heads or either to the camera on the scene going, you know, like, this guy, like, he's saying there aren't drugs here. I'm pretty sure there are. He's just trying to feed his kids. And I'm going, ugh. Like, is that it? Oh God, right? Like, have we, you know, as in, why aren't his kids being fed, right? Yeah. And like, it just made me like feel like, ugh, what's going on? Like, it made me really worry for the country, perhaps more than is really, you know, necessary.
Yes, it was. Well, I suppose it's not not a rounded picture of the country.
Exactly.
If you're just looking at it from the point of view of guards. Really.
I think right. As in, obviously, social problems are this huge interconnected network of many different facets. But this is only one of them.
Yeah.
And it's like the worst of them, if you get like, or, you know, or that's how it's portrayed in the episodes. And yeah, I just found it really depressing.
Yeah. Okay. And the way it's framed, because I suppose, you know, you need the cooperation of an organization and all the rest of it. I imagine there was a lot of negotiation in terms of how much access they had. Did it, at any time, did it feel like This is a public service announcement brought to you by An Garda Síochána, or...
No, it didn't feel like that to me, and maybe I'm not discerning enough of a viewer to see that. There's a very really good YouTuber called Skip Intro who does a whole series of videos about particularly cop shows in the US and how they are framed as a form of copaganda, right?
Yeah.
Whereas here, I didn't feel that, but I was very observant of the fact that the vast majority of the participants were much younger officers. Some who had only been on the job for 7 months.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
Like, where were the seasoned ones in this? They were nowhere to be seen.
Okay. And you had women, you had a person of colour. Yeah. So, yeah, probably there was an element of it to that. Right. We'll move on to our third show of the day. It is English Teacher. New episodes every Wednesday on Disney Plus. Here's a clip.
I'm being investigated.
Yeah, a mom named Linda Harrison.
Linda Harrison. Wait, I know that.
Alleges that you kissed your boyfriend in front of her son.
Oh, my God.
A class of other high schoolers at the end of last school year.
You talked to me about that when it happened. That was nothing.
I know, but now she's made a formal complaint, and I have to read this.
Wait, her kid, that kid graduated. He's in college now. Why is she doing this now?
I don't know. Why does anybody do anything?
Wait a minute. Linda Harrison. I remember that name. That's the mom that complained about the assigned reading.
Lewd content, yeah.
Lewd content, right? And do you remember what the book was that she said was lewd?
Great Gatsby.
Do you know how long that's been on the curriculum?
Oh, my God.
I mean, this doesn't make sense. This is political. She's doing a political move.
Yeah, politics are real.
You know what? Why doesn't Marky ever get investigated for all that shit he says?
He has a protected victim status.
How do I get that?
Because he was injured in a car accident in this first week of training in the ROTC.
This is insane.
I mean, you kissed her. You kissed your boyfriend in front of her son. This is serious
now. I think it was just like... Just like barely, just like...
Oh. Right, so is this a bit similar to the previous show in that and this is
no,
this the teacher trying to educate unwilling minds?
Maybe with a pinch of salt, right? So yeah, not to be confused with the Mercury Prize-winning band English Teacher either, right? So this, which is what will come up if you Google that,
yes.
First of all. So this is a comedy series from Brian Jordan Alvarez, who is a kind of under-the-radar American comedian. He's probably best known to people who know him for the creator of this show called The Gay and Wondrous Life of Caleb Gallo, which was this 2016 web series he made. And it is really famous if you are terminally online, like I am, because of this one scene in which a character says things that are expensive are worse. And you should just Google that because it is worth watching that one scene alone. It is absolutely brilliant.
Okay.
And then the pandemic came along, and for him, he was one of these, like, you know, forward-facing camera comedians. He was doing all these various bits during the pandemic, and that again sort of re-injected a bit of life into his career. He had an arc on Will and Grace when that was rebooted, I think cancelled since. And this is his first standalone network, quote-unquote, TV creation, made for Hulu and Disney Plus here. And he plays Evan Marquez, who is a high school English teacher in a suburb of Austin, Texas. And when we find him in the first episode, a mother of a former student of his has complained to the school for issues I won't go into because they will be spoiler territory. And it's just really about him navigating the American school system while being, you know, a liberal gay, half Latin, you know, American in that area, which may not be as progressive as he is. And it's all about his interactions with the other students, his interactions with the other teachers, and the principal, who is played by Enrico Conlantoni, who people will know from Veronica Mars and Just Shoot Me and a million other things. It's really funny. It's the first selling point of it.
Okay.
Right? Like, it is definitely a comedy. It's a... What I liked about it is, even though I really like Abbott Elementary, which is obviously in a similar vein, following an elementary school in Philadelphia, I think it is. Here, it doesn't have the crutch of the, you know, the mockumentary framing device, which now has become so common. We're getting another one. I think it's called St. Dennis Medical is arriving very, very soon, which is again this, we're going to have people turn into the camera and making faces and blah, blah, blah. And that's all warm and funny and it works really well. That's why it's so successful. But this is just much more a straight-laced, normal sitcom, not with a laugh track, obviously, but with a lot of laughs. It is really clever. It's sharp. The lines are funny. It's only two episodes in so far. Well worth giving it a go.
Yeah, and the episodes are half an hour.
Yeah, they are.
I knew that's what it was really about. Those three shows are Slow Horses, new episodes every Wednesday on Apple TV+. On the Beat, that's on Mondays at 9:35 on RT1. You can catch up on the RT Player. And English Teacher, new episodes every Wednesday on Disney+. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.